deep learners, what some of the educational uses of the technology are, and what the impact of increased charges or diminished services might be. Rural education is a unit, as a unit of the university, is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. Our charge is to deliver university-level education to rural and native Alaskans in their home communities. 4,400 students were enrolled in the unit last year. Specific service areas for rural education communities include the Aleutian region, Bristol Bay, the villages of the interior, and the North Slope. Rural education also manages statewide programs of support farm study, the Alaska Native Language, and community health aid curriculum. Rural education was established with the recognition that massive social, cultural, economic, and environmental changes were occurring in rural Alaska, which necessitated skill, knowledge, and understanding and higher education. Yet, those affected, predominantly mature adults, not leave their homes, families, jobs, and teachers. Long periods of residency at the campuses. In order to meet these needs, rural education centers located in the region, each of which had a charge for service to a number of outlying villages. Before the advent of telecommunications, programs for the outlying villages limited and sporadic because of their dependence on available instructors or on the costly and logistically difficult traveling schedules of itinerant instructors. But opportunities that were provided budgeted interest and requests from rural residents multiplied were more consistent and coherent structural programs. Not surprising then, rural education was early and avid in its interest in the needs of its students. We eagerly lend our views to the initial studies conducted to outline what a state system should include. Before Learn Alaska was founded, we were experimenting in consortium with Sheldon Jackson College, purchased to make available some video-based courses. We continue to experiment with the telecommunications technology, the objective of making learning accessible and effective and as appealing as possible to rural learners. Well, just what are these educational uses for the rural learners? Rural education is the largest single university user of the teleconferencing system. Of the available technology, teleconferencing is used to date to be the most accessible and flexible of the tools. Also provide maximum interaction between students and instructors. It is the top we heard about this morning, plain old telephone service. We frequently supplement teleconferencing with cycles of videotapes and always with plenty of print material. We look forward to the time, which hopefully will be in the near future, I'm beginning to wonder after all the testimony this morning, but when decreased transmission costs and improved technology will permit our rural constituencies to have access to computer connections. Well, it's also so few telephone booths. Affordable or free, yeah, we can dream, telephone lines would enable rural education's over 4,000 rural students to access the university computer. Possibilities of using the university computer. Really providing enhanced resources for rural students. Instructors could use electronic mail to send handouts, read the journal articles, other timely course materials to work directly with the students and villages. You'll know Alaska makes those, and we're looking at the minutes or hours and the turnaround. But now that can be many days and frequently. Weeks. Sending lessons to instructors overnight, corrected lessons returned. One of the immediate uses of academic computing by rural students to access the university library card out library material by computer. instructors are anxious to build into their courses other kinds. So if full free calls could be made to computer networks, instructors and courses delivered in distance, want to use the pilot offering to develop the kind of structured modularized program. The faculty alike could have access to varied potential factors, analysis of data. Since in every discipline, we have access to the programs and simulations used freely by their campus counterparts. University computing resources available on campus, but not available to 4,000 non-traditional rural Alaskan students because of long-distance telephone. May lead to continually widening gaps. Educational role that can be become response to education by telecommunication has surpassed our expectations. We know that many rural Alaskans and educators remain skeptical about this level. This past fall, entered into regular school courses and special topics in classroom have been offered. Education courses reached over 400 at 63 villages. This was double the enrollment of the previous semester. What are these courses? They include basic math, science, social science, education skills, ANCSA-related courses, business courses, and a course to train village librarians. We found that exciting and viable classes can be made up for students in a dozen sites. We meet at one teleconference, even more than this hearing, with participation from Atkins and Barrows. Moreover, the growing participation comes not from the regional center, but from the small villages. Students, teachers, local schools, and administrators have all had to learn together how to manage this new medium for instruction. The important fact is, I think, that we have learned, and each semester we see improvement in getting information to students, in the development of materials and the logistics delivery, use of the instructional time by interaction time, encouragement of student interaction over the media, and the support and feedback to students. We have miles still to go, but we are primed for the challenge. We have proved for ourselves, educators alike, that telecommunications technology can make quality and vary education of rural learners in their community. This demonstration of productive use of the technology is a significant threshold, we believe, of the availability of the technology itself. I want to share with you a quotation from David Billington, who is an professor at Princeton, who wrote an article recently called Technology and the Teaching of Values. He has this to say, network is a static system through which something travels, whereas a process is a dynamic system through which something is changed. The network transmits the process. No civilized life is possible without transmission and transmutation. It will be very important that they continue to expand this base of education. But it must be nurtured and aided to reap the full benefits of its investment in technological capabilities. The effort must be sufficiently focused and accountability sufficiently centralized so that the development of distance education and its uses will continue and will do justice to the needs and potential of rural learners. Moreover, there is economy in scale in the expansion of distance education. another reason to focus this development. Cost of course preparation go down as they spread out the larger enrollments. Times of constricting budget plans for education, telecommunications is probably the only route for meeting the full range of customers. Just last week, I was a meeting out in Bethel of the University of Boston leaders. Buzz in that group of about 35 people. A complete consensus of the community of going major component of the any future plan. What then about the impact of any service, manageable rate structure, and universality of telephone service, line, rural education delivery, and the prospects for enhancing it with computer uses and other technologies. Rural education, audio conference telephone bill for the first 6 months, approximately $86,000. Staggering to us, but next to the figures we heard this morning, it becomes very understandable. This support is 17 audio conference courses, all number of administrative conferences of widespread relocation. Charges actually are not exorbitant. $32 an hour per site, plus 5%, full cost of $40 per hour site. How does that get discovered that the charges would be equivalent to one more first. Nevertheless, we cannot sustain these costs with the growing number of participants. I enthusiasm is about to do it in. We've taken measures to cut costs for the spring term. We've reduced the amount of audio conference time class from 1.5 hour to 1 hour weekly. We've also cut the number of classes all through. We trust that with very careful planning, imaginative use of the medium in its most appropriate quality of class interactions will not be lost. Variety of classes will be sufficient to continue to meet the wide range of needs. Unfortunately, just as we have demonstrated that effective education via telecommunications can be made available in every village in Alaska, we are faced with the difficult decision of whether or not we can. Were present unit costs to escalate, the medium as used would become even more prohibitive without further funding. Funding sources might include increased allocations from the legislature or use charges assessed to state. Legislators will have to face the likelihood of the first, the second, that is, assessing the charges pursued, would create an additional barrier to education for most. Many of whom find it difficult to meet present costs of materials. They might well ask their legislators why it is that students in a campus classroom are not charged a fee for maintenance of that facility, which without subsidy might be considered a telephone bill. If the state is serious about serving rural learning, delivery educational programs is the most cost-effective way to go. Compared to the capital costs for new buildings and duplication of full-time faculty in a number of locations, it can be looked at as a bargain. It also permits the broader use of all of the university's resources. All four faculty can serve a large number of students dispersed across the state. Faculty engaged across the university can serve distant students without leaving their campus. Development of outstanding course materials is encouraged. They are prepared and reviewed by teams of faculty for publishing of the students. Distance education is widely accepted around the world. Countless programs have been established over the last two decades to reach otherwise underserved populations. Starting with the enormously successful British Open University in 1970, including open institutions in the countries of Western Europe and China, with several African efforts, and the South Pacific, to name a few. peril that telecommunications are not accessible. We used to talk about telecommunications in lieu of road systems for Alaska. This interpretation represents well the concept of universal service. Lifeline rates must be interpreted as affordable rates for all rural Alaska learners. We recognize the need for policymakers and citizens to communicate in order to run a representative government. We recognize the need for communication in the administration of government services, such as the health services that were mentioned this morning. We also heard this morning from Commissioner Weatherly about the need for communication for the economy, the healthy economy of the state. I'd like to add to that this morning the need for telecommunication support for the educational service of Alaska. Investment in the means of communicating is the basic cost of doing any project. We hope that the legislature will address these needs early as it has addressed the needs for roads, runways, and that concludes my testimony at present. I would like to turn now to the comments of some of the users of the University of Alaska Rural Education.
Mr. Bledson, I think.
All right, I'd like first to turn to Dr. Charles Blood in Anchorage, who is director of the Business Delivery Associate Arts Degree Program. And with him, one of our instructors in this program, Carol Bartholomew, who has some things to say in terms of evaluations with the students. Charles Blood in Anchorage.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Walker, and thank you very much. By the way, we're not sure whether we're coming through. Does everyone hear?
Actually, you're coming through very well in Juneau.
All right, thank you. We have one of our instructors with us this morning, Carol Bartholomew, who teaches a creative plot this past semester, a creative writing course for rural education, employing distance education technology, including audio conferencing. Before I make my own remarks, Carol has consented to she dashed over from a training session she was giving at the Northern Institute this morning, and her time, she's clapping here, her time is very jealously guarded, so I would like to let her make her remarks before I introduce my own. Carol, as I say, was teaching a creative writing course in 18 villages across the state, and there were more than 25 students in her class. I would like to turn
thank you very much, Charles. Dr. Walker, legislators, I appreciate the opportunity of sharing my experiences of delivering a course via audio conferencing for the Rural Education Extension of the University of Alaska. My course was delivered, as Charles mentioned, via audio conferencing, involving students in 18 sites throughout the state. I met with the students via the telecommunications for 1.5 hours weekly. In addition to the instruction and student interaction which we had during the audio conference, students had weekly assignments and were required to keep a journal. The students and course participants mailed materials to me every other week, which I evaluated and returned to them. Along with the textbook which the students had, I had developed a 32-page study guide for them to use in conjunction with the textbook and our audio conferencing courses. Of the 29 students who began the course, 25, that is 86%, successfully completed the course with an average grade of 3.4, and that is a B on a 4-point scale. Two students did request and were given incomplete grades, and I anticipate that they will complete those within the semester. The class met 13 times during the semester. We were meeting on Thursday night, so we were not able to have a class on Thanksgiving. I was very pleased to have the course participants be as active as they were, the average attendance for those students completing the course was the attendance at 11.6 classes. I garnered a few statistics from the course participants. Those who took the course, 56% had no college degree. 33% had a bachelor's degree, and 11% had a master's degree. Of those who were involved in occupations, 22% of the course participants were in education-related positions. That is, they were teacher aides or adult basic education instructors, or worked in the school perhaps in a clerical position. 30% of those taking the course were involved in teaching full-time. And 52% of the course participants were involved in other occupations, and that included being in the Navy or the Air Force. I did have those represented. During the semester, I had participants who represented the following role sites: ADAC, Barrow, Cantwell, Central, Clear, Dillingham, Fort Yukon, Galena, Hoosier, King Cove, Leavelock, Mon Village, McGrath, Natchez King Salmon, Mistoyahook, Choke, and Unalaska. I have taught the Creative Writers Workshop on campus at Anchorage Community College and will again this semester be teaching the class starting next week. I found that the course participants in the audio conference were as skilled, were as interested, and were as committed to the course as those that I've had on campus at ACC. I certainly thank Dr. Walker and Charles Flood for the opportunity of becoming involved with audio conferencing instruction. In addition, and Charles doesn't know I'm going to say this, in addition to teaching the English 260 for Cree, I also do audio conferencing workshops for adult education instructors throughout the state and have done that for the last 2 years. These are instructional one-hour courses which are delivered six times throughout the year, and they are delivered as part of my position at the Northern Institute as the Adult Education Staff Development Specialist. With those classes or courses of instruction, we have a great deal of student interaction and very, very high response in terms of the quality of the participants who are involved with the audio conferencing. So thank you very much.
This is Charles Blood again. Are there any questions for Carol before we let her get back to the training session?
Yes, Representative Pierce had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you mind going through the figures again for me? Your course, I understood you to say, was a 260 level, which I assume is an undergraduate creative writing course. Could you tell me again the breakout of the students in that particular course and give me an idea if that's the sort of breakout you find in your rural ed courses? It sounded as though you were heavily into people who had already had degrees, graduate degrees, and even some PhDs. Could you just give me those figures again?
I don't think I had any PhDs on that. Creative writing is a very broad course. It appeals to a number of people. It is offered, as you mentioned, at the 200 level. But anyone, of course, would be able to enroll for the course. Those who have completed their degrees, of course, have already participated in the usual freshman, sophomore level classes. I think we were seeing a higher level of educationally oriented people attending the course simply because of the unique nature of the Creative Writers Workshop.
But what were the figures that you gave us?
Almost 60% who had no college degree.
It was just a thought. If you folks out there, we have copy, we have hard copies of
hard.
Margie's comments, it would be sincerely appreciated that anybody that is submitting copies so it can become a part of the record. I think Representative Pierce is hitting on the heart of this thing, determining the universe of need and what the cost is out there. So if you could please to P.O. Box V here in Juneau 99811, attention Chris Herberger, H-E-R-B-E-R-G-E-R. It will be very appreciated so we can make it a part of the record. Representative Pierce, excuse me and continue.
Mr. Chairman, I believe she answered my question that at least 40% of the people taking the course have a degree, and I'm just interested in the level of students that we have out there. Thank you.
Representative Pinelberry.
Thank you. Ma'am, can you tell me what it costs to put your class on for one session or one semester or 1 month, whatever increment you might have it for? But if you take into account the line charges to all the various sites where students are located, and plus your time, materials, what does it cost us to deliver a course like this creative writing course to the number of students?
Thank you very much, sir. Dean Walker, would you care to respond to that?
Yes. Not a specific response to the cost of the course, which we can secure, but overall, the cost of rural education delivery is substantially less than many of the rural outreach efforts. The cost per credit hour, which includes this kind of delivery, has
well, Dean Walker, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I've never seen you before, met you before, but I can just tell by looking at you, I really like you, okay? But I've got to tell you that after sitting through all the hearings last session, with all the telecommunications user agencies in the state, and the chairman knows this is a pet peeve of mine, we cannot pinpoint the cost of telecommunication delivery services for almost any agency in the state. And I think the university is amongst the worst in terms of telling us what it costs for any specific program and breaking those costs down on a per-student basis. So if you, now arriving on the scene for the first time, in my eyes anyway, can do something to get us that information, here's one individual who will be very, very grateful for it.
I think Marco has certainly been on the committee, the one that keeps asking this question, and since declining revenues or what have you, this is a question to all those that are out there. It's, we are advocates of the system, but we must, in the hard daylight, justify the cost and the expenditures for both the hardware, the software, and the application. Representative Hanley, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Walker, you indicated that there would have to be increased funding sources, that we might be looking at additional legislative appropriations or increased use charges for students, which would be an additional barrier. But I'm curious, what kind of use charges are we presently looking at as far as students who participate in these particular courses?
There is no individual use charge to students at this time.
Thank you.
Representative Wallace?
Yes. Are we on?
Push your button forward.
Yes. Could you tell me, Marjorie, you mentioned a classroom maintenance fee. You were referring to an example like students in cities were not charged a maintenance fee for the classroom. What were you referring to in rural Alaska? What was your example?
I was thinking of the students on campus who go to a classroom where they get the instructional facilities. They are not charged a use fee for the capital investment, and I was likening the telecommunications really to capital infrastructure for learning.
Representative Pierce?
Did I understand you correctly that there is no credit out charge of any kind?
Oh, yes. There is the regular university charge for 5,000 credit hour, but and also charge students for the written material, but we do not charge students for audio conference.
So there's no laboratory fee, which would basically be the same as...
That's right.
Representative Collins?
Thank you. One of my questions has already been asked and answered. I did have another question. The concern that I had, and it really comes back to what Mr. Weatherly was saying this morning about the technology, and that instead of just accepting telephone use, we now want the ability to do call forwarding and put our phone on hold. I guess my thought is, in one of the concerns that I've had is that perhaps we are providing, or to what degree are we providing the exotic things like the call forwarding and putting your call on hold? And I guess I'm wondering about if we have a system, an educational system, which I highly support, are we doing basic educational things with it, or are we doing upgrading things such as providing people who already have a degree with some continuing education? Because I know the problem in Anchorage exists. There are a lot of people who have higher degrees, say bachelor's or master's, are not able to participate in a program because that program is not available in Alaska, and they have to go to the lower 48 states. So I guess I'm saying, at what level are we providing these educational services? What's the goal?
We offer through the teleconference courses the basic core courses of the Associate of Arts degree. This is intentionally to complement whatever local instruction is available, in our service area, can attain up to the associate level credentials program. In addition, as I mentioned, we offer the top special interest to rural Alaska. This includes the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act courses, section of the Act, the 1991 and beyond federal use law. We offer such courses as this creative writing, which draw somewhat larger attachment than the basic English 111 or library skills for the disabled. Also, another course in that broad attachment area would be introduction to class of study, the land, people, and the creative response. Some of these will draw a range of users. And as you know, education is it's contagious. The more education people have, the more they want. And in all community-based education, we find a range of educational backgrounds in the community. So that, especially in the broader type of courses, you will find people who have serious education.
Okay, so I guess maybe the question is, are you offering courses that people need or courses that people want?
A hard decision to make. I think our associates, what I'd like to do is to provide you with the curriculum for our past two semesters. Basic math, design,
that's what I'm assuming.
And some of the other associates. Let me do that.
Thank you.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. You made reference to courses related to Alaska Native Plains Settlement Act. You also referred to your own area of your catchment area, so to speak, as the Aleutians, Central, Northern Alaska, and so on. Do any of these courses, are these courses available in Southeast? We certainly have a number of communities in my district that profit very much from that kind of a program. Can we access them easily, or are there problems associated with it?
Well, I think that's one of the conditions that we haven't had a spot to plan. That is a statewide for the distribution of these courses. Those ancillary courses actually were taught by a person from Sitka who taught them to these other areas of the state.
Well, specifically, though, once you're on the teleconference network, once you're on the teleconference network, it should just be a matter of somebody calling in. So what precisely would be the problem? If it has to be done through Ketchikan Community College, that, once again, just seems like a phone call away to make the arrangement.
Well, some of the logistics involved are, first, the $40 an hour to connect you, and secondly, the fact that there are a limited number of places on the bridge. Bartholomew, you mentioned that she had 18 sites in her class.
So
the total limit is 19. There are 20 places on the bridge, and the instructor, and we usually try to keep a place for a visitor, because in these teleconference classes, we can have the author of the textbook join us and do. So then we try not to hook up more than 8.
Really?
And on beyond that, there is the simply the logistics of cross registration.
So the primary problem, though, seems just to be financial. I can't imagine that any administrator would select to exclude students from a base that could derive funds or provide a benefit. So I suppose that if there were more money available than to subsidize the telephone service associated with your course, we could get onto a double and triple bridge and solve all of those problems technologically. But I am correct, it's just a question of budgeting, if that is what your budget will allow you to provide service at this time. And that there is no joint budget request from other sectors of the state. I guess that might be the solution, really, huh? Okay, thank you so much.
Are there any other questions? Yes, Representative Pierce.
Thank you. I've got one question.
Chris can probably answer. Marco, that. You have any? In fact, if you have any, just flip on the microphone.
When Mr. Weatherly was talking about exchange lines, is an exchange line the whole 7-digit number and the phone that rings at my house, or is an exchange line the first 4 digits and then there are 100 phones that can be attached to that? In other words, is it $32,000 for every phone number in the state? Or is an exchange line, let's say, a 465, 4-digit, and then from 001 to 999?
There might be a telephone engineer out there someplace. I hesitate to answer that question.
Okay, we could just find out.
Yeah.
I have to know right now. Okay, thank you.
Chris, do you want to clarify that?
I'll find out the information.
That's our staff person. She's done all the work. She's very shy. I told her I was going to have her testify before it was through. Representative Collins, we've got about 5 more minutes and we'll wrap it up.
I was going to ask the same question. I had heard that it was $32,000 per telephone line per each individual phone is what I had heard. So I'd like that clarified too, because that's really high. And the other thing I would like to clarify too is that if you look at the jump from 200 in lower 48 states, 1,200 in Alaska to 32,000 in the rural areas. I cannot for the life of me figure out how that could possibly be. It's just simply just.
We'll have the telephone company.
I mean, I'd like to have that explained. It just doesn't make sense. It's not a logical progression there.
Well, if those are AT&T's figures, it makes sense, since they want to get rid of the subsidy, that they would pad the VIP. That sounds outrageous. And is that an annual number? They say it's $32,000 a year, and
a
they're
year.
Capitalizing the original
right.
cost. And my word.
I think, in more or less response, we will be having the telephone companies in, which they'll be discussing. We'll have Alaska. I think we really need to begin to get a handle on the cost of the subsidy. Where is the money going, etc.? But unfortunately, Dean Walker is one of the users out there, and it's been our strong feeling that there's more attention been paid to technology and industry, and the poor user is caught out there in a ping-pong game quite often. All they want to do is deliver it, and I really appreciate her insight. Representative Pinelberry.
Dean Walker, I'd be interested in knowing how many of the students in rural Alaska that use the telecommunications education services receive student loans. You don't happen to have that, do you?
I don't have that.
Okay, if it's available, I'd be interested in knowing. And then I want to stress one thing. From what I inferred from your comments earlier, you were saying that distance delivery education services are a substitute for capital investments rather than a supplement to it. It's not something we're doing in addition to trying to get the university services out to the rural areas. It's instead of it. So we don't have to build bricks and mortar. We can invest in long-distance telephone charges. Is that right?
No. That's right. I would like to make a small provider there that this idea of a community information center, which was advanced maybe 5 years ago, and the course of deliberation does make a lot of sense. That would be a small facility that would include the audio conference and the computer accessibility, along with possibly a place for rural students to study and use self-paced materials from the newspaper to complement the school. But that would be the only brick and mortar department.
Okay.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Dean. The education programs that are provided now, are they provided only in areas that do not have, like, a community college? Because I know in Bethany, the Cuscum Community College. Now, are you overlapping services with a community college, or are you providing services in one area and the community college is in another?
The latter is correct. We are increasingly trying to mesh those by sharing the course across the lines.
But you're not both providing a creative writing 206 up to the same group of people?
We are providing to one large service area. Cuscum providing to
the Thank you. I'd like to make one closing comment. Tonight at 8 o'clock, I will go to class on my Macintosh. I will access via Telenet the American Open University in Long Island. I have been trying to complete my college degree for years. There is no opportunity. I was told I could not take a course in creative writing in my own state because the class was closed. The difference, my teacher will not be present, but my homework will be there. Through POTS, I will download pictures. It's a British system called VidTech. I will be able to send and receive graphics on it. And I am applying for a scholarship loan. Now, I believe that I am being discriminated against, and I am sure my daughter is in student loan. I'm sure she doesn't quite know what to do with her father's application. But the credit hours that it will cost me, and this is not some rinky-dink outfit, these are the people that put on the Nova graphics over public broadcasting. And I will be glad to supply you with the catalog. In fact, as I travel throughout the high schools of the state, I demonstrated this, and I currently have about 10 high school students who, instead of turning to distant education in the state, have gone to Long Island, New York, to go to school. I believe what Margie is talking about in her deepest heart is the ability to be able to deliver not to those who are already in the classroom. I can't go. I couldn't serve here and go to school. Telephone tag has got me. Visually, I'd have to be there. Audio, I'd have to be there. But the emergence of these technologies will allow me at 8 o'clock this evening to go in and see how I did on my lesson. And I'm doing it, first of all, because I really feel frustrated. I would like, before I die, to be a doctor of information services. That's my last goal. I want to get my doctor's degree, and I want to serve at the same time. So I guess one of the things that we've got to take a look at, and Marco's got a real emphasis, and I think as we open up our eyes, we'll find out it is cost-effective. But the most important thing, I think, is there is an opportunity for people who might not otherwise be able to go to school, the family that moves around, the person, the single parent that has an education. But I thank her very much.